We want to welcome you here today to our DWC podcast, and we're so glad that you could join us. Of course, right now the government regulations are not allowing us to meet in person, but that's okay. We're so glad that you could meet us over the computer and in this way. So we want to start off by just praying and asking the Holy Spirit to join us wherever you are listening from right now. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to say thank you that even though we can't meet in person, we thank you that you are always with us, that your promise is that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we pray for those who are maybe frustrated of the shutdown again, and it feels like is our summer in jeopardy. All those questions, Father God, that we would love to have answered. In the end, we know that you're the answer to it all, that we are never isolated because you're always with us, that we're never alone because you're always by our side. And so I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that whoever is listening to this podcast would just feel you and know you in a very real way, that you'd fill that room, that you'd make it holy ground, that all those who have ears to hear would know you in a very real way as we listen. And so we're here to glorify you and to lift you up, and we want to do that. And we pray that you'd just join us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, this first song is just this call to the Holy Spirit to come and fill us up. And if you are ever in a moment in your life when you feel empty, we want to remind you that he is as close as the mention of his name. Call upon him and he will answer and he will fill you to full and overflowing. Let's sing it out.
This week, that even though my foes may be many, they rise against me, and I know that it's frustrating that we're back in this place again where we can't meet, but that doesn't mean he doesn't meet us here, and we just simply need to ask him to be with us, and he's always there for us. He won't delay He's there and he'll be what you need. So let's sing this truth out this morning, always. Because it doesn't really matter where you are when you meet with him. He will meet you wherever you are at. So even though we can't be with each other, wherever you are at right now listening to this, my prayer is that he will meet you there, meet your needs. He will scatter the darkness. And he will change you in the place where you're at right now. Thank you. So many times that I've, out of the years, where I've just had to simply run and fall on my face because I don't know where else to go. And I don't know where you're at right now or what you need from him, but allow him to take those things and just be your father that you need. So if you guys remember the song, sing it where you're at. If not, you can just simply listen to the words.
Need to serve you, so need.
This is our last song, and me and Andrew really love this song. It's called Find Me in the River. And you know, when we're honest with God, he finds us where we're at, and sometimes we just need that river of God to fill us up. And if you need that this morning, allow this song to do that for you.
We want to welcome you to the DWC podcast. We're so glad that you could join us. You know, we started last week a series on the spiritual warfare, and it is the irony is not lost on me that all of a sudden our province goes into lockdown, and we're no longer allowed to meet in person. We've just been talking about attacks of the enemy. It's kind of amazing to me. And again, just to do a quick recap of where we went last week, we shared this Barna group, the Barna Institute information that said they surveyed the church and 40% of churchgoers agreed that Satan was not a living being, but rather a symbol of evil. And wow, you know, that shocked me in a very sad way. And again, we testified last week that the enemy is real. The war is real. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, right? It's very real. The enemy is real. And he couldn't defeat God. And so what does he do? The next best thing, plan B, would be to hurt what God loves and to hurt whom God loves. And so Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy you. We talked about that last week. And how do we respond to an enemy that is hunting us? Well, there's two key truths that I want to start off sharing with you this morning. One is the enemy doesn't hold any authority over a believer. And so if you are a Christian here listening in, I want you to know that. The enemy doesn't hold any authority over the believer. But the second truth is this. Sometimes we grant the enemy authority, right? Sometimes we open ourselves up to that. So let's dive into those two this morning. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I want you to note this morning that as we look at that verse, the devil is looking to devour someone. He doesn't devour at will. It's this neat little verse that reminds us that Satan has his place. Since the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan has been put in his place. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Note that again, we don't always resist. Sometimes we invite him way too close, right? But our position in Christ makes us victorious in every spiritual encounter if we receive that position in Christ, right? It's the same principle when it comes to salvation. God died for the sins of the world, but not everyone receives that gift of salvation. We have to open it. Well, the same is true in spiritual warfare. You know, God's great gift of authority is available to every believer, but we have to receive it, right? We have to open it. And a few examples that I want to give you of that today, one is in Luke chapter 10. This is when Jesus was sending out 72 followers, right? There was those who were following him, disciples that were trying to spread the word that Jesus was preaching. And so he sends out 72 in pairs to all places that he was planning on visiting. And they come back with a neat report. It's found in Luke 10. I'm going to read verses 17. He says this. He says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Even the demons submit to us, right? Those are believers talking. Another one would be found in Matthew 10, verse 1. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Again, I read those verses today because I wanted us to have this reminder that the enemy doesn't have authority over a believer. You know, when the devil wanted to test Job, go back and read the story of Job. It's fascinating, but he needed to have permission, right? And sadly, there are times that we forget our authority and we act foolish, right? Which brings us to that second part of the truth that I wanted to share with you. Don't grant the enemy authority in your life. I've seen believers who deny their authority, right? Like sometimes it's done in ignorance, sometimes it's done in weakness, right? But we open ourselves up to nonsense, right? That there's times when we struggle, and we know those times, what they look like. So they shouldn't surprise us. There's times when you may feel depressed. There's times when you may feel discouragement. There's times when you may feel angry or you may feel lust. And there's many more, but we get swept away in the enemy's lies if we're not alert. And what are those moments? Those are moments when we come under oppression, or maybe even worse, we come under possession. And so I want to take a few minutes and talk about those two in different categories today. Oppression is the state of being subject to unjust treatment or control, okay? So oppression is when we're under the control of something else, right? Unjust treatment, right? Possession is something that's very different. It's the state of being owned or controlled. So two very different things, but very, very dangerous. Let's start off with oppression right now. It's one of those things that we choose. It's when we choose to be influenced by the enemy. Again, when we don't accept our authority, right? So we're drug away with attitudes. We're drug away with certain moods that we may find ourselves in. And it really short circuits our belief system, right? So it's an attack of the mind, oppression is. And what happens is that attack of the mind leads to poor actions, right? And you've been there. Maybe you've been there. It comes out in times when maybe you're tired or maybe you've been stressed and you those moments of weakness, then all of a sudden we make choices that are poor choices, and then all of a sudden we're living with regrets, right? We're tempted or we are deceived and we feel accused maybe. Maybe that's another one that you've experienced before, right? It's a spiritual state, and usually it manifests itself in a physical form. One of those stories that I think about when I think about oppression is two friends of mine that we went to university with, and they had a known cult come and knock on their door and want to talk to them about their beliefs. And of course, we knew them from university, Allison and I, so they're believers. And they said, sure, come on in, right? Let's have a conversation with these people because we want to share with them our truth. And so a discussion started, and all of a sudden, things got heated, and they were drawn into an argument. And that argument started to turn hot, and attitudes started to change. And then all of a sudden, when it was kind of heated, they said, you know what, we no longer want to have this conversation. You're not welcome here. Could you please leave our home? And one of the individuals who had been arguing with them while they were leaving said, you're going to regret this. Well, it was about an hour later, one of our friends who had been in that argument, she felt her back tighten. And it was a crippling effect on her. Like, it was, could not move, the pain, it was awful. And so she lived with that for a few days, and then all of a sudden they said, this is crazy. This started when we had this argument with this group of people. And so what they wanted to do is they felt that God was calling them to pray. And they felt the Holy Spirit call them to prayer and fasting and ask several other people to join them in that day of fasting and prayer. And so Allison and I were asked to be a part of that, and so we did, of course. And we prayed for that 24 hours. And on the last hour of our fasting and prayer, our friend felt the grip in her back release. And there was this incredible healing, right? And it was amazing. Again, it was this moment of freedom. But when I think back on that, I'm going, wow, I wish that they had never opened themselves up to that. Like, again, we sometimes give authority, right, to the enemy. Did you ever say as a believer, I don't know how this happened, right? Of course you've said that. I've said that, right? But if we look at it, you know, there is times when we flirt with the fire, isn't there, right? We flirt with the fire, and then all of a sudden we get surprised that we get burnt. Well, no, we cannot ignore the warning signs, right? When I'm tired, I better remember my Sabbath, the principle of the Sabbath. I better rest. When I'm discouraged, right, I better take time to get away to lonely places just like Jesus did and pray, because if I'm discouraged, I need to be filled with heaven, right? When I'm depressed, I better open up my voice and start to praise and sing songs of truth. And so we need to recognize the warning signs, and we need to react appropriately. And you know, what has helped me over the years, too, is having those people who are by your side that love you. For instance, my wife, Allison. She helps me battle that. She's wisdom, right? So when I'm not seeing those things, she may say to me, I think that you're getting a little too tired, that you're burning the candle at both ends. And if I'm wise, I'm going to listen to her wisdom, right? So have those people who are looking out for you. Some examples of those messes in Scripture when the enemy starts to deal with us. Like, I can't help but think of Judas in John 13:2. Here's Judas, and he's gathered at the table. It says, at the evening meal, while it was in progress, the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And I think about that. You know, Judas didn't start following Jesus with the intent to betray him, right? Like, he too wanted to change the world. He too wanted freedom, right? But he got his sights on this earthly kingdom instead of a heavenly kingdom. And he started listening to the enemy, right? But he didn't start that journey with the intent to betray, right? Another example of that I find in Scripture would be Ananias and Sapphira. Right? If you look at Acts 5, and I'm going to read a few verses of that, Acts 5, starting to read at verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied just to the human being, but to God.' When Ananias heard this, he fell dead to the ground." Again, I'm thinking about that, you know. This was, of course, a story that happened at the early church when the church all of a sudden was coming together, and people who had were selling some of their things to give to those who did not have. And this was one of those examples where people were selling property and homes that they didn't need or they had an abundance of, and they were giving the money to the church, to the apostles, to spread out among the other church members, those who were poor. And there was great rejoicing, and there was a lot of celebration in that. Well, these two got together, had the same idea. I mean, they really had some extra, and they wanted to give to the church. But after, right, the land was sold, they're like, let's say we're giving it all, but we're not going to give it all. And it's kind of sad, right, when we see their outcome. If you want to read the rest of that story, it's a very sad story, right? But they didn't start that project in hopes of lying to the Holy Spirit. They started that project hoping to do good things, but somewhere along the way, they lost it. Somewhere along the way, they started to listen and to the lies, right? That oppression came over them, and they didn't deal with it in a very good way. Anyway, it didn't turn out well. So those would be some examples that where the enemy all of a sudden disrupts our life, right? Where he comes in, and there's some oppression issues. Now, if we move into the realm of possession, possession is one of those things that doesn't happen by chance, right? What happens is foolishly, mankind, we often play with the spiritual realm, right? And that's why we're doing this whole series, right? We don't want you to play with the spiritual realm. We want you to take it very seriously. But there are times when I've seen believers open themselves up to forces that they can't control, right? They some people call them gateways to darkness, but either way, it's all choice, right? That sometimes it may be in ignorance, but again, ignorance of the law is no defense. And so it's one of those times where, you know what, if you have a friend who's calling you up and saying, "Hey, we'd like to get together today. We got a really fun project, and we really like you to join us. Be at the house at 6. You get to the house at 6, and everybody's joining hands around a lit candle at the kitchen table, and they're saying they're going to have a seance. Well, you know what? Get out of there, right? Like, don't stay there, stupid, right? But there's times when we open ourselves up, and it's a choice, right? And the Word of God is very clear on such matters, that we're not to play with the spiritual realm when it comes to the things of the enemy, right? When you think about fortune tellers and soothsayers, right? We're not supposed to be playing with them. When you think about tarot cards and Ouija boards, and some people say, "Oh, Andrew, don't get too excited. They're just silly games." No. They're instruments of the devil, and I don't think that we should be playing with those things at all. When I see people who are worried about reading, their astrological prediction or whatever it is, or they have crystals to protect themselves, when we look for direction outside of God, we're looking for trouble. So the reading of palms and witchcraft and Wiccan, all those things, why in the world would you ever look for direction or purpose outside of God himself? I remember one time, this would be several years ago, but I was having a conversation with a Wiccan. And Wicca is a form of witchcraft. Of course, if you don't know anything about that, they kind of do spells and rituals. And that's often part of their religion. It's very New Age. And they do like to worship creation. And so there was one case where I was having a conversation with someone who had called me to come and visit them. And they were talking about this life force that they were getting from a tree. And the tree was beautiful, and it was grand. There was no question that it was a beautiful thing, a beautiful creation. But my question eventually came down to this. I said, why in the world are you crying out to a tree when you could talk to the creator of all trees, right? And so there was the deal. I was trying to show that individual that I was having conversations with that our purpose and our God-given ability is to seek him, right? Right at his throne, that we can approach the throne room of God with boldness. Why in the world would we settle for any cheap, lying substitute? You know what I mean? And God in his word is really clear about these things, right? Like we look at some of the Old Testament realities for them, like Leviticus 19:31, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God, right? Again, another one from Leviticus 26, I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from their people. Another one, Leviticus 20:27. A man and a woman who is a medium or a spiritist among you must be put to death. That you are to stone them. Their blood will be on their own heads. And so, like, I think of some of those examples in Scripture, and I'm going, wow, does God take purity seriously? Yes. Does God take counterfeits seriously? Yes. And you know, I praise God that we're no longer under the old law, that there's mercy and grace. I'm glad that the church is not burning witches, right? There was awful dark times in the history of the church, you know, things that were done in the name of God that God had nothing to do with. But the warning still stands. Like, the Old Testament is still relevant. It reveals the heart of God. Grace and mercy are now the standard. But why in the world would you ever play with what God has condemned as evil? And there's times when I see believers playing around with spiritual things, right? We cannot give evil authority in our lives. You know, why would we ever open up those gates and even toy with them? So again, when I think of, you know, issues like possession, I can't help but think of there's so much biblical proof for that, right? I think of Luke 8, right, where Jesus all of a sudden sails across the Sea of Galilee. And he's doing some mission work on the other side, and he comes to this particular town, right, where there's this crazy guy who's living naked, and he's living in the tombs, and it's one of those crazy stories where you're going, man, yeah, I guess you had to be there. But they say, like, through this story, that this guy was demon-possessed, right, that he opened himself up to evil, and he invited it right inside. And he has freakish strength. They said that the townspeople tried to chain him sometimes and to keep him locked down, and he could break the chains. Like, if you've ever seen some of that stuff in the, you know, that spiritual things manifesting itself in the physical world, it can be pretty scary. It could be pretty intimidating. So here's this guy who's breaking chains, running around naked, living in the tombs, and Jesus steps on shore, and all of a sudden he recognizes Jesus right away. The demons recognize Jesus right away, which is pretty amazing. And I want to read a little bit of this passage from Luke chapter 8. All that has happened. I want to start reading it at verse 30 when Jesus has an encounter with these demons. Jesus asked him, what is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside. The demon begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off, and they reported this to the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man of whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured, and all the people of the region asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. Now, what I find fascinating about this story, right, is, of course, all of the drama. But of course, Jesus has command and authority over the demons, and he casts them into pigs at their request. the pigs go and commit mass suicide, right? And the people are disturbed by that, right? And what do? They see the man who was once nuts and naked. They see him in his right mind clothed. And what do? They ask Jesus to leave. That's incredible to me, right? And it reminds me so often that even this world gets so used to the demonic, right? Like we become familiar with evil, and when the Savior of the world comes, he's the one who makes us uncomfortable. And you know what? That I've even seen that in churches, which blows my mind, that there are some churches, again, that I've been to that I'm sure Jesus wasn't welcome there, right? And it came out the attitudes, it came out in all of that stuff. And so again, when we talk about possession, we're talking about demonic forces entering a human and having their way, right? So two very serious things, right? This idea of oppression, that if we start playing with sin, then we're going to get burnt. It's going to affect your mind. It's going to reveal itself in attitudes. It's going to come out in the physical, right? And then even worse, possession, right? Surrendering to those evil spirits, right? And opening yourself up and letting them in to have their way with you, right? And I want to remind us again, when we're talking about this idea of spiritual warfare, if you are a believer, the enemy doesn't have authority over you. Receive your God-given right and authority in Jesus Christ to resist the devil and he will flee, to command the demons and they will go, right? Those are the things that we need to start to understand when it comes to these tools in the spiritual realm that are available to us, that we've got to use them, we've got to receive them, we've got to have that authority. And again, don't let the enemy take your authority. Don't surrender your authority to the enemy. You know, too often I see that. I see the believers living defeated, living discouraged, living broken. And you know, pretty soon we start to believe the enemy's lies when all those things are happening. So on this front of spiritual warfare, I'm hoping and praying that as a church that you would always assert your authority in the spiritual realm because of Christ's work on the cross of his death and resurrection, the authority that he grants you. I hope that you'd never give that up. I hope that you'd always be using it in full effect, that you'd be aware of oppression and that you'd react before the consequences just get so deep and sticky, right? That you'd always be aware of possession and you'd be mindful of that, right? And understand that there are going to be times when you face things that are very demonic and be aware of that. So my prayer is that you would receive that authority. Right, that you would you'd believe it and you'd use it, and so again, right now, even as you're listening to this, you know, I'd say, what has a hold on you? You know, if you are a believer and you're listening to this, what areas do you feel slipping away? What areas do you feel under attack? What areas do you feel weak in? And you know what? I hope that you would make that an attitude of prayer, and that in the name of Jesus, you would make changes there. You would command with the authority given to you that the demons would flee, right? That the attacks on your family would end, that you'd move heaven and earth, right? There's the authority that we have. Oh, that we'd not be afraid to use it, right, or ashamed to use it, but instead it would become the norm. I'm praying that we would arise as spiritual warriors, right, and we'd be making a difference in everything and everywhere we go. And so I want to encourage you today. You know what? I hope that you've enjoyed the podcast today and that you feel encouraged. But I really want to encourage you to use the authority given to you in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's do this. Let's pray together. Father, I want to say thank you for just these truths. I want to say thank you for the example that you gave us. I want to say thank you for you know, the word, as we look through there and we see so many different examples of spiritual warfare and where we fit into that. Lord, I pray that we would never be shy of our position in you, but with boldness, we would use that authority that you you've given us, Lord, and that it would become normal for us. Lord, I know that there are those who are nervous. I know that there are those who this may be unfamiliar territory. Well, Father God, I pray that we would start walking it and we'd start using it. We'd start understanding it way more than we do, especially in the days in which we live. And so, Father, make us spiritual warriors for you. I want to say thank you for this Sunday. I long for the day when we can meet face to face again and when we can get together, Lord. Until then, we're just going to keep on trusting you. We pray that you just be with our county, be with our families, be with us as individuals, Father God, and keep leading the way. So thank you for what you're doing in us. Never stop, never stop, never stop. We pray all these things in the incredible name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you guys for joining us again. You can join us each week here on the podcast, and I pray that God would go before you and you would feel his blessing all week long. Take care.